We discussed
the question of a person's attitude towards the tachlis of what he's doing. In that it's a valid chakira to wonder whether the seeing the activity in which I'm being oisak to a successful conclusion is a valid consideration. In other words, is that my obligation? Is it my obligation to form an idea, let's say, of what is appropriate, of what ought to be done, and then to feel that b'chol oifen, it's my obligation to take that to its successful conclusion? If that is so, then it's legitimate to worry. What's going to be? What if I die and somebody else takes over and somebody else is going to mess it up? That's one way of looking at life. Another way of looking at life is that nothing is important from an objective standpoint. Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't hire me to run his world for him. Whatever tachlis, whatever purpose the Ribbono Shel Olam has, he can take care of that through me, through somebody else, through whatever agency is appropriate. I have to do the correct thing at this particular moment. If I do it and it succeeds, wonderful. If I do it and it doesn't succeed, also wonderful. As far as my own purpose is concerned. And yet, lo yolecha hamlocha ligma, v'yato ben chayren libot l'tmena. Now, for Shetzach alone, that's a hard line to travel, because on the one hand, a person could develop a sort of a fatalistic kind of attitude and say, well, nothing matters anyway, so why try? Now, it's very hard to feel that your obligation is to try very, very, very hard and to put all your koyfos into something, and at the same time, not to worry about whether it's going to work out or not. But then it's nobody ever said it's easy to live the way Yid is supposed to live. But that seems to be the maskona to which Koheles comes, that my obligation is to do the thing that is right now under these circumstances. This building needs to be built. It seems to be the Ratzon Hashem that it should be built. Put a brick on. Put another brick on. Put another brick on. What's going to be? Will it stand? Won't it stand? You do now what you have to do. Shetzer alone, it doesn't mean, again, don't have any seichel. If a shetzer, like if in order to finish a building, you need so and so much money, and I don't have a dime, so then maybe that's not the right thing to do. That would be megalah that it's not the right thing to do. I don't mean not foolishness. Sometimes perhaps betochen calls for doing it even if there's no money around. I mean, I don't mean any of this as a hachro in a given situation, what to do. There are many other factors which play roles in that. We're talking about now about an attitude. Given, that means I've been chalke and deirish all the tzadim, and it's kumt ois that this is what I ought to be doing. So there, Koheles seems to be saying, now relax. Do it with all your koichos, and stop worrying. So that's impossible. We saw then at the beginning of Perek Gimel, right? That would be the secret of flexibility, right? The ability to laugh at the right time and to cry at the right time, to build at the right time and to throw down at the right time. All these items, ace to do this, ace to do that, that's only possible for somebody who is not meshuchet to one particular outcome. That's only possible for somebody who has only one force which moves them. And that is his rotzen to do the right thing. So there's no problem. You want me to laugh now? I laugh. You want me to cry? I cry. All my hergesha, all parts of me, are a servant to the Ribbono Shel Olam's rotzen. So that's what he says over here in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Ein toiv ba'odam sheyoichel v'shosa v'heres nafsho toiv ba'amolai. That is the way to live. Let him eat, let him drink. The person has to do that. Ribbono Shel Olam made us physical, And let him enjoy his work. Let him do it right. Let him do it besimcha. Let him do it enthusiastically. And let those machshavs, which were matred koheles earlier, what's going to happen after I die? Maybe some fool is going to take it over and ruin everything which I built up? Nishgefel, don't worry. Ki mi yoichal u mi yochosh chutz mimeni. Whatever I have, I cannot rely on anybody else to do anything about it. Everything which I have is given to me for myself. We talked last week about Ashlokesh, who mourned on his deathbed the fact that he was leaving over to his children a kabod marika. He was being moirish to his children, a bunch of radishes or whatever they were, and hadn't used them himself. Never mind that he didn't leave them $1,000 or $1,000,000. He left them a moldy cabbage, and that's what worried him. Why? He should have used it. Kids have their own hashgacha from the Rebbeinu Shlalom. That's the gate of this posak. Ki mi yoichal u mi yochosh chutz mimeni. Nobody's going to do anything about my things except I. And this is where we get into the issue of what Rabbi Dessler in his writings calls the idea of the keli. The idea that everything to which a person is exposed in the world, whether it's property, whether it's events, whether it's relationships, everything which touches upon a person's life needs to be viewed as a, what he calls a keli. Keli means a tool. It's a way of serving the Rabbeinu Shlalom. There's nothing that impinges on my consciousness. That's what Chazal mean when they say, "Bishvili nivra ha'olam," that everybody can say, the whole world was created for me. It was created for me, it was created for you too, it was created for millions of other people. So in what sense was it created for me? In the sense that everything which I come across, yeah, whether it's a star who is so many light years away, that all the shaykhs I have to is that I look up in the sky and I see that sky. That sky, that's made for me. It's a keli for me. I can do something about it. What can I do about it? Whatever it is that I'm supposed to do with stars. That's the concept of the keli, the concept of realizing that everything which impinges on my consciousness is there to be used by me for a certain purpose. Nor that the Ibn Ezra asks this famous kashya by Lesachmoid, where the Torah tells you don't covet what the other fellow has. Lesachmoid, Eishes Re'echo, Shorgo, Chamorgo, Beso, Kola Shel Re'echo. Don't be jealous of the other guy. He has something nice. He has a car that you like. He has a stereo. Don't be jealous of him. No sachma. Don't be chomeded. Don't wish you had it. So you know the famous Ibn Ezra asked the kashya, how can you order me to control my wishes? You tell me, lois signoi, or lois sigzoi, don't go and take it. That I understand very well. A person can control his actions. Not always easy. You can do it. Torah says, it belongs to the other guy. Don't you take it. That's fine. But I shouldn't want it. How can I not want it? I do want it. You're going to tell me not to be hungry when it's time to eat? You're going to tell me not to be tired? How can a person control what he wants? I like cars, so I wish I had it. I'm going to be a good boy. I'm not going to take it. But how can I not want it? Well, it's a funny kind of thing. The Torah seems to expect us to control things also which don't seem to be so very much in our hands. What do we do with the love in the Torah? He says, "La'milchom alavecha v'ruisa amrov." You're not allowed to be scared. How do you control that? sitting on a battlefield and a couple of tanks bearing down on you. The Torah says you're allowed to be afraid. That's a difficult one, right? Again, the Torah tells me don't run away, Versteh. Don't be afraid. It's not easy. Now, it's apparent that the Torah wants to have us sufficiently in control of our feelings that we can control these things. But what about this Kashya of Ibn Ezra? How can I not be chaymed? How can I not want that which you have? So essentially, the Ibn Ezra's answer, the Rav Dessler's Mavayat, is very poshut. In other words, what's wanted over here, what's demanded of us over here, is not that we, our emotions, or whatever it is that makes a person want something. The thing that we need to have over here, or what the Torah exhorts us, is to look at life correctly. If you look at life correctly, then you're not going to be chaymed. You just have to know the issues. If you see somebody drinking a sparkling red liquid and it looks delicious, you're thirsty, so you go, oh gee, I wish I had that, I wish I could drink that. Right? Then you find out that it's some kind of a medicine which he has to take for some terrible illness. So you're not going to be chaimet, you're not going to say, oh, I wish I had it. You're going to be very happy that you don't have it. In other words, wanting something is in a large degree dependent on knowing the realities. You know what's going on, you won't necessarily be chaimet. Dr. Adesler, what's the most ruchniistic thing in our physical world? We want to look for a moshel in the tangible physical world which we experience. What's very ruchnistic? What's the least physical? Light. Light is a physical thing. Right? But it's very ruchnistic. Heat, I guess. And there's a funny thing. We're all sitting in this room over here. And we're all having hanor from the lights up there. And the fact that each one of you is seeing by this light doesn't bother me too hoots. I can see just as well. We're not getting in each other's way. If there would be another 500 people in this room, we could still all see equally well. Okay? Now, it's getting in each other's way that what you have, I don't have, and what I have, you don't have, that is a property of physicality. The more ruchniistic a thing a person is, or thing is, the less contradiction is there between the both of us having it. All right? Ne'er le'echot, ne'er le'meyer. Listening to a shir. Does it bother to you that the other guy's also listening? You're not listening less, you're not hearing less. Nothing to do because it's Torah. If it would be a lecture in mathematics, it would be the same thing. In other words, there are plenty of things in the world where we can both enjoy things and that I have it is no contradiction to the fact that you have it, and we're not getting in each other's way. But when we get to gashmisticker things, the famous car, so then we do get in each other's way. If it's your car, it's not my car. It's my car, it's not your car, and I wish I had it. Well, that's where you're wrong. And that is where the Kehli story comes in. Because what is a car? 5 minutes ago, you would have said, what's a car? Car, right? Now you know that's all wrong. A car isn't a car at all. A car is what? No? Keli Favaydus Hashem. Now, if it's a Keli Favaydus Hashem, so it turns from being a physical unit into being a Ruchnistic unit, right? I mean, Ruchnistic units we saw that they know. Still, there are no contradictions between both of us having it. And that's perfectly true. All right, let's start again. I have a car, Elias Kehli, right? Vavaydus Hashem. Okay, what do I do with it? All right, I check. What does the Rebbeinu Shem want me to do with the car? What means of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam do I have? Okay? I can give somebody a ride. I can lend it to somebody. If that seems to be the right thing to do. I cannot be proud of it. I cannot go nuts when I get a little scratch. I can retain my sense of proportion. There are millions of things I can do with a car. What about the guy who doesn't have it? That's also not true. Sure, he has it. He has it as much as you do. What do you have it for? As a keli for your avodas Hashem? Well, he also has it as a keli for his avodas Hashem. What can he do with it? Well, for one thing, he can be happy that you have it. What a beautiful use you put that car to. For another, he can be careful not to scratch it up. For a third, he cannot borrow it if he knows that you don't like to lend it. Right? There are dozens of things that he can do with it. So you get to this strange situation where it's the craziest thing in the world to steal your car. Why? Because as long as you have it, I have it. You ever heard such a cheap thing? I can own a Mercedes-Benz for zero. It doesn't cost me a penny. Right? You have a Mercedes, I have the Mercedes. What happens when I steal it? So now it's in my garage, so I've lost it. Right? Because what does the ownership stand for? Do Avodas Hashem with it. I can't very well do Avodas Hashem with the gun of the Mercedes, right? So the one sure way of not having it is by having it. So what do I want to go and gun of it for? Right? That's equivalent. You know the marshal they give? What's it, a moshel? I forget the nimshel. The moshel is a beautiful moshel. What's the, you tell me what the nimshel is for. What was the mitzvah? How did the moshel go? Was it a cave with unlimited treasures inside? And at the door there was a plate with some coins. And like somehow with the coins you were going to prove that you had the right to go in. They admitted you into the cave. Something like that. And there, once in the cave, you would have been able to get all the treasures in the world. So some shoiter comes along and says he's going to be smart. He's going to gun off the coins. Or something like that. Right? So he got the coins and he lost the whole treasure. Something like that. What's the name? Collection. Something is also something like trapping all the gashmis in the world. I don't remember. But anyway, but that's the word is, the word is poshut. The word is that if you've got it, so then you've lost it. That's the gather of the keli. That's the gather of using or viewing whatever a person has simply as a means to be an Avod Hashem. If a person can sort of get himself into that frame of mind, life becomes very, very simple in many ways. That's really the essence of being a Baal Bitochen. Not worried so much. I want this. I'm applying for a job. And I want this job very badly. I want this job very badly. And I have to go for an interview. So what's our teva? Our teva is, so for a week before, we don't go to sleep, and we get worried, yeah, what will be, and how it's going to be, and it's going to be so nice if I get the job, I'll be able to do this, I'll be able to do that. If I don't get the job, everything's going to be dark, and it's going to be miserable. So we get very, very, very uptight about it. If the whole thing is a keli for Avodas Hashem, no sweat, right? What do I have to do to get the job? Send my suit to the cleaners, make a nice impression, be articulate, know my answer, sure, I'll do exactly that. Nothing to do with losing sleep. What can happen? He says, I may not get the job. No, so that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. So right, I have it. Little Ramol, I have it. That's the avoid of which he wants. So it's a whole different ballgame. That's the pshat. Ki mi yoichal, mi yochush, chutz mi meni. That every zach, which I come into contact with, is only one person who can make use of it. And that's me. That's I. And if I leave a cover to my rikav, to my children, I'm messing up my life. Either the Rebbeinu Shem handed me a Kavod HaMa'arika to use, and I'm not using it. Now, I don't mean in this particular context that none of us should take out insurance policies or try and build up an estate if that is Nageya Lemaisa, because that's not an absolute either. It doesn't say anywhere that the particular avoider which a person should do with his money is not to provide his children. That may be a very, very reasonable thing to do. For us, perhaps if we wouldn't do that, we would have to be choshed ourselves for being not caring, for being irresponsible. Right? I mean, the Gemara doesn't say over there it's also for a person to leave Kavod HaMa'arikas to his children. Reish Lakish apparently was in a situation in which he realized that for him that was not the best way he could have used it. Maybe for somebody else it is the best way to use it. So don't misunderstand me on that. But the point is clear. The point is that if that's not the best way to use it, then it's small comfort that my children are going to have it. My children have their own cheshbon with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki le'odam she'toyv lefonav nosan chachma v'da'as v'simcha v'lachoyte nosan inyan le'esov v'lichnos loses le'tov lifnei olakim gam zehevel rozruach. But that's the zach. If somebody is toiv before Hashem, Hashem likes him. He gives him chachma and understanding, and above all, he gives him joy. L'chayte nosan inyan, and to the chayte fakert, he gives him a nuisance. Le'esoy v'lichnos, to rush around making money. Loses l'tov lifnei olakim, in order that that money should be given l'tov lifnei olakim. So here the Kohelet touches on a very, very important yisoid. About a year ago, I don't know whether some of you may remember, talked about in some of the Shmuz and the Chavis Halvavas. Chavis Halvavas talks about money management. Talks about in the Shar HaBetochen. He says that some of the mistakes that people make, the reason why people get all messed up in Betochen, is that they assume that whatever money they have, whatever property they have, was given them to use. So let's say I'm a very wealthy person. I have $1 million. And I see a gorgeous something which I like very much. So, what do I say? So look, no reason why I shouldn't buy it. I'm not taking stock from anybody. I'm giving a lot of stock to other people. I can afford it. So I go and I buy it. I'll indulge my taste for a beautiful car, for expensive stereo, whatever it is. So the Chavis Halvavas, don't be so fast about that. So it was the mere fact that this money is lying in your bank account does not prove that it's there for you to buy cars with. It says that a person's property can be divided into three categories. The first of those categories he calls teref mezonai, which means the money which the Ribbono Shel Olam earmarks for your food, it means for your existence, for the things that you need to live. If you've got a bank account and you've got money in it, you can assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you that money in order that you should live from it. There's a certain percentage of that money which is earmarked by the Ribbono Shel Olam for that. The next, he says, is teref ishtoy v'anshei beisoy. Another chelek of your property, the Ribbono Shel Olam has earmarked for your family. Wife, children, they are your responsibility, you have to be mefanes them. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you for that too. The third category, he says, is teref kinyan. That's money which the Rebbeinu Shalom gave you, because you're the guy who's supposed to be looking after that money right now. What does the Rebbeinu Shalom want to do with that money? You haven't the vaguest idea. The Efsha, the Chavis Avava says, maybe the Rebbeinu Shalom is appointing you a Shomer to look after that money for your wife's next husband. Right? In other words, one of these days, maybe you're not going to be around anymore, and this money is going to go to her next husband, and that's why you have it. No way of knowing. Good Moshe, yeah, from Chumash, you know, the Ramban, where you saw this thing. Who got Eretz Yisrael? By the Chalukah, by the Shivim Amaman, by the Haflogah, Eretz Canaan, right? The children of Ham. Right? Who really is supposed to get Eretz Yisrael? Yid? How come Canaan got what was earmarked for Klal Yisrael? Maya said, Ora Canaan, Eved Avodim, Yilecha. Canaan is an Eved. So if you have a Yerusha which belongs to a cotton, what do? You go and take an Eved and you tell the Eved, look after it and build it up. And do what has to be done, so that when your master grows up, he'll be ready to move in and to take it. So if the B'nai Canaan, the Chiti and the Chivi and the Amori and the Frizi and the Yavusi, if they would have said, listen, we're sitting over here in Eretz Yisrael, that's a raya that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to have it, Hetzel Mishon, not Emes. What really was true was that they were Avodim. They were watching it for the Yidden to take over when the Yidden were ready. But then later on, they're ready to move in, and that's when they move in. So Chavis Avodah is saying that there's no guarantee at all that the money which you have is there for your use. So how do you find out? So the problem is, how do you find out? Well, I've got the $1 million, no? So how much is my tariff Mezoina? How much is my tariff Ishtav Anshe Besa? And how much is tariff Kenyan? So how do I find out? Can I buy this tariff or can't I? What's the answer? No? What is the answer? What? You have to wait for what? Mashiach comes, you won't need a stereo. You will need a stereo. What? If we don't buy it, maybe it'll come faster, Tucker. What's that? You buy a cheap one, maybe. So what's Tucker the answer? The answer is there's no way of telling. Directly. Tucker, no way of telling. You're not a novi if you don't know. If you're not a novi, you don't know. So what do? You look in the Torah and you find out how you're supposed to live. You know only one thing. One thing you start off with. That's the basis for your cheshbonos. And that is that the Rebbeinu Shalom is not trying to trick you. Right? Ha ha ha. Like he thought, yeah? That's not the Rebbeinu Shalom. He says he doesn't expose you to tests which you can't keep. Okay? So he doesn't want me to eat only dry bread, let's say. Maybe I should be fleshed like this, as I said. My tariff mezoino is only like $20 a week. And I'm supposed to live on bread and water. And everything else is tariff kinyan, let's say. Not mistava. If you feel that it's not your need, well, you have to eat more than bread and water. You'd be unhappy, you'd be distressed, you'd be sick. The Rebbeinu Shalom is not trying to trick you. You can assume that whatever you need, that's Teref Mezoina. No problem. Teref Ishtavan Shebesa, so does that. Or we'll find out how the Rebbeinu Shalom wants a year to live. There's an Indian of being Mistapik B'muad. There's an Indian of Kedoshim T.U., which is Purushim T.U., you know, the Ramban. Says, don't be a novel, Bishas HaTorah. What does it mean in Novel Vishas HaTorah, which means don't go and do things that the Torah didn't utter, but the Torah assumed you'd be a mensch. Right? Torah says you're allowed to eat. There's nothing wrong with eating. Yeah, but the Torah doesn't want you to be a glutton. Yeah, you can have people like that. Isa, as a yid, as medaktig in mitzvahs, a beautiful sukkah. So happened that he liked a certain kind of chocolate. And it was always nice, every sukkah he looked forward, like in the sukkah, like he used to have this kind of chocolate served, and like it was this einig yantar. So this year, Punkt, was hard to get that chocolate. So he set in motion a whole series of efforts which took hours and hours and hours and days to get that chocolate. Right? Did he do an Aveira? The chocolate was kosher, the sukkah was kosher. Right? Did he do an Aveira? No. Was he a Kodesh? Probably not. Right? Too much importance, to place too much of a role, disproportionate. Nothing wrong with eating a piece of chocolate in your sukkah. If you go and make yourself a sugar and you waste hours trying to get it, there's something wrong. That's what Gedol Shem Tio tells you. Zayah Mensch, make use of what the Torah allows you to make use of in moderation. What's called moderation? Every person is different. But that's the gedda. The gedda is the divine is not tricking you. What you need, take if you have it. If you don't have it, you can't take it. But we're talking about the guy who has it. He's got the money. You need it, buy it. It's your money. You can assume that the divine wants you to. What's called needing? That's where person's avodah comes in. That's where he has to work on himself. Should he indulge himself in every crazy zach which some fellow in Madison Avenue figures that it would be nice to sell him? Maybe not. Does he have to have the shenster and the best and the latest and with every gimmick in it? Should not. Is it going to be good for you? Is it going to be bad for you? Is it going to waste your time? Going to help you to be a better yid. These are the cheshbonos. If I'm not going to buy this, what's going to be with all this money in my bank account? So that's what the Chavos HaVavos says. Relax, maybe it's for your wife's next husband. Right? Whatever it is, maybe you don't have to be that morbid. There are reasons for it. The Vanisham has reasons for it. That tell him why he trusted you with it, why he made you the shomer of it. No? Does that make life harder? Does it make life easier? I think it makes it hard. Because it places a responsibility on one. See, we gave the marshal of the fellow who has $1 million and it's a question of buying a Mercedes. What about the guy who has $200 and the child has a new suit? Or a pizza, or whatever it is. So what's the difference? You buy it, you have the money, big deal. It may not be true. Maybe a big deal. That's the difference between living achrayistik and not achrayistik. See, a person who just says, listen, I've got the money, now big deal. Yeah, you often find people who have less money, or less well-off, more willing to buy things and spend things. And that makes a lot of sense, because what's nafkamina, yeah? This way you don't have any money, that way you don't have any money, so buy this and be all right, yeah? So next week you'll pay the bill. As I said, a person who's got a lot of money, so he knows the value of money and he wants to preserve, so then he's a little careful, he won't buy so quickly. Well, with that, that's nafkamina. Yeah, but I'm $20 in debt, but I'm $100 in debt, this is nafkamina. See, but that is living
I don't want to say living irresponsibly, because that's not what I mean. Because irresponsible means that you're being bad. I don't mean that. I mean it's living without being responsible. Right? But if you postulate that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to take achrayus for every act which you do, and that the taka should be considered. And if it's not the right thing, then don't do it. And if it's not indicated, then don't do it. If it's indicated, then do it. It's as bad for somebody to not buy a suit or to buy one than it is for somebody to not buy it, to buy a suit when it shouldn't. But that's the geda over here. I mean, the tetzos of the Chovos Avos are very, very far-ranging. So that's what he says, V'lachoyte nosan inyan. To the choyte, to the one who's toiv lefonav, he gave chachma v'daz v'simcha. He's happy. He's not chasing after money, he's not chasing after this, he's not chasing after that. He's doing what he has to do, and he does it for simcha, he spends his time for everything. V'lachoyte nosan inyan, lesoy, v'lichnos, losos l'toiv lefneho elokim. That he is Isaac. You see, that's the stress over here. The Isaac and kindness. He gathers and he puts it into his bank account for what? Loses la tov de elokim, not for himself. Vaishnav has different plans for that money altogether. It's to give it to somebody who's tov lifnei elokim. Gamze hevel urusla. So, from the point of view of the chayter, who spends all his life rushing around like a meshugna, and acquiring all this enormous wealth. And then it turns out that its whole purpose was to give it the toiv lifnei elokim, hevel u'usua. Right? So that's the lesson which Kehelet teaches us about the tailing. Use your things right. What do you think is that? See, we're mispalel to the Rebbeinu Shalom for Chaim Shel Oysher V'Chovel. We like Oysher. Oysher is a very good thing. Rebbeinu Shalom promises to us in the Torah if we keep mitzvahs. It's a very good thing. But once you have it, you have to manage it right. And the issue of managing it right is not to be solved in Hilchos Oysher. It's got to be solved in Hilchos Kol HaTorah Kulo. Right? Because there's no way of knowing exactly what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to do with the money. I can only get to the right answer through the back door. And if I act in every way, the way the whole Torah teaches me to act, I engender in myself those middles which the Torah wants me to engender. And I live that way, so then I can have betochen that I'm spending my property correctly. Very, very important, you say. Okay.